You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sir. No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored. Every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
When you hit the door,
welcome into Inside Ben Davis Football here in the WBDG studios alongside Jeff Robinson from the Hendricks County Flyer, John Eastern, of course, Coach Simmons. We're sitting here tonight. Coach, last week, 31-24, your final, losing to Lawrence Central. Just kind of take me through that game. What did you see that was the good coming out of that game, but also what needs improvement heading into this week, which doesn't get any easier with North Central, a 6-2 team that's really turned their, they turned it around from last year.
Yeah, I think when you go back to last Friday, it was kind of a microcosm of our season. You know, we had flashes where we played really well offensively and defensively. Then we had flashes where we didn't take care of the football, or we'd give up a chunk play, or, you know, we let a guy get behind us in a scramble drill. And so, yeah, I think it was a microcosm of our season in terms of we had ups and downs, and, you know, how we handled that adversity, I think, showed a little bit in the final score. You know, I was pretty disappointed in our group. Not answering the bell at some key times throughout the game. You know, when you look at the opening drive offensively, we were able to run the ball effectively, got them in, you know, they played some zero man. We were able to run a counter, both pulling offensive linemen did a great job. Trent was able to split the two pullers and win the foot race to the end zone. Come out defensively, and it was almost like we just weren't ready to tackle and play, and, you know, that showed up on their first drive, their ability to run the football, to break some tackles, and then put together a scoring drive. And then, you know, I felt like the game was on from there. At times we played really well offensively, got into a little bit of a rhythm there. And then they took some things away from us in the run game, and we just never adjusted up front. Never felt like we got into a position where we can get control back of the line of scrimmage. We were able to tempo some drives later on in the game. And, you know, I felt like the difference in the game were those two turnovers that we had. They were able to convert those two turnovers into points. You know, we had that we had the takeaway at the start of the second half. I felt like we had an opportunity there, up 14-10, to really go up two scores and to really dictate what was going to take place in the second half. And we ended up getting a field goal out of it. I just felt like there were a lot of ups and downs. It was a frustrating night for sure. When you look at things that gave us issues from an offensive perspective, felt like, you know, we got into that fringe red zone area, didn't convert, turned the ball over twice in key situations, and those two things hurt us. From a defensive perspective, I felt like we missed too many tackles, especially in the secondary, gave up too many yards after contact, and then we gave up chunk plays in the passing game, and, you know, we've done that twice now. We've really done it more than twice, but, you know, those two things defensively, those two things offensively really hurt us. And I felt like the lone bright spot was our special teams play. I felt like our special teams play was solid. Zach Fox handled all the kicking duties for us on Friday, converted a field goal, was solid in the kicking game. I feel like Ty Nibbs is probably the best punter in the state of Indiana when you look at his operations times from snap to kick and then his hang time. Ty's been a steady, consistent guy for us in the punt game. And then, you know, it all starts on those two things. It all starts with Darian Herbert at the long snap position. So I felt like, you know, it kind of a microcosm of our season with the ups and downs.
Coach, I know that you didn't anticipate being 3-5 at this point in the season. Weigh on some of the factors that may have contributed to your record being what it is right now. Obviously, you did have some rearrangement in your coaching staff. You also had a lot of player turnover with so many guys gone from last year's team. Again, weigh on some of the other factors, or put a weight on some of the factors that have put you in the position you're in right now.
Yeah, I think when you go back and you walk back through our season, you know, 1-8, where we're at right now. I think that our team has been in different phases. I think early in the year, our lack of experience hurt us. Now I think it's more just a lack of consistency, play in and play out, drive in, drive out, quarter in, quarter out, game in, game out. We can put together a good drive, and then it's almost like we relax and get comfortable, and then we go out and sputter a little bit, and then we lose confidence, and then things start to unravel a little bit from there. Instead of having laser focus and just staying locked into the moment, some of that I think is just some of it could be a lack of experience, although we're 8 games into the season, and you can kind of throw that out of the window. And some of it I think is just the belief and trust that we're going to go out there and execute, play well, and do the things that it takes to be successful in our conference.
Were there any things that players had to adapt to with adjusting to your style and your schemes as opposed to what Coach Kirshner had going with last year's team and several years prior?
Yeah, we didn't change anything offensively. We stayed consistent offensively. And I feel like defensively, we've worked to evolve. Probably the one area that we haven't done our kids a huge service is the amount of turnover we've had in the secondary. We started the same secondary for the first time all year in back-to-back weeks, week 7 and week 8. Those guys are starting to get comfortable and continuing to grow. I think we got to stay committed to who we are and to what we believe in, not hit the panic button by any stretch of the imagination. But we also have to keep coaching too. And, we've talked about that this week with not only with our players, but just, as an entire program. It's not going to happen overnight. We need to stay committed to the everybody talks about the process. Well, we just need to stay committed to what we believe in. And that's embracing work, that's competing, that's being a great teammate, and that's owning the little things. And, we haven't done those 4 things consistently enough to be successful this season especially. The fortunate thing for us is we got a great opponent on Friday that our kids are excited about playing, and then we get to turn our focus to the tournament. And regardless of what your record is in the state of Indiana, everybody gets a clean slate, and everybody gets an opportunity in the tournament. And we're certainly looking forward to that too.
Coach, you just kind of led into my question here. It is an all-in tournament. There's no qualification. It's not like the NFL where your record gets you in. And so if you finish wherever you finish, how do you put that, what's happening in the regular season, how do you put that behind you and try to say, hey, we gotta go play Warren?
I think for us, it's all about the attitude, the approach. We've talked to our guys a bunch about living out the front windshield, not the rearview mirror. And that's easy to do. When you look at, all the things that have transpired since the end of last season, we can use those as a bunch of excuses, or we can just get to work. And that's what we tried to emphasize with our guys, is just staying in the work, staying in the moment. And for us, that moment's North Central. They're a good football team. Coach O'Shea's done a great job in year 2. Or year 3 there at North Central. I don't remember which one it is for him, but he's done a great job at North Central getting that program rolling. They're certainly, you turn the film on, you can see him playing with confidence. You can see him flying around. When you look at him, they're certainly an opponent that can grab your attention really quickly. So for us, we have to continue to work on getting better, getting ourselves better. And we've done that. Felt like we did it in practice last week. Had a really good Tuesday practice. Came on the show last Tuesday and felt really good about where we were. Wednesday and Thursday, didn't finish the week as well as we did on Tuesday. And so, we got to continue to track our guys. We got to continue to make sure that we know where they're at from a coaching staff perspective, and to put them in the best possible position to be successful.
Coach, on Friday, you guys had somewhat of a goal line stand against Lawrence Central. You ended up causing a fumble and taking over at the 1-yard line. You drove the ball 76 yards before turning it over on downs. Talk about that drive and getting that stop right at there at the goal line where Lawrence Central looked like they were going to go ahead and score a touchdown.
Yeah, when you look at it, you got 2 choices when you get pinned up like that as a defense. You can continue to fight and play it out and play it through, or you can roll over. And I was certainly proud of our defense. That was the second takeaway in the second half for them. They just continued to play hard and fight, and that gave us a little bit of a boost. You look at the first play coming out of it, and Trent hits Adrian Reese on a seam route, and you look at those 2 plays back to back, and it's one of those things you just want to put on loop for our guys, because that's how good we can be. You know, we can get a push up front. We can create disruption and create takeaways, you know, from a defensive perspective, if we're going to play hard and commit to that. And then offensively, you know, we can be that good. You know, we can be backed up on our own one and be confident enough to drill a seam route for 16 yards and punch it out on the first play. You know, so all of those things, you know, look, it can give you a snapshot into what we can be. And that's what we have to continue to strive for. You know, we can't relent with our expectations from a coaching staff perspective. Certainly haven't. And our kids just have to believe that we're good enough to go do those things on a consistent play in and play out basis. And it's just like you said, Grant, you know, we move the ball down the field 76 yards and stall out. And that's that fringe red zone. You know, you go back and you can look at every one of our games right now. We've had fringe red zone possessions that haven't played out. You know, you go back to Carmel, even as recent as 2 weeks ago. You know, we lose that game 21-7. We have first and 10 at the 31 and don't get any points out of it. We have first and 10 at the 26, don't get any points out of it. And then you come back to LC, and we had the same thing. You know, we had right after the forced fumble by Capone Powell, we give Mike Adams a reverse for 10 yards, and we're first and 10 at the 22 or 25, and then we get a field goal out of that, and then we get that fringe red zone possession after the takeaway at the one and don't get any points out of it. And so, you know, for those things, it's about being consistent. It's about finishing for us.
Coach, on Friday, I just wanted to bring this up here really quick before the break. You had 33 rushing plays and 32 passing plays. Is it ever by design to be that equal in rush to pass play ratio? Or is it just how the game plays out and what needs to be done to win the game?
You know, so much of it for us is what position we're in from an offensive standpoint to be able to go take advantage of what they're doing. And so, you know, we certainly want to be balanced. There's different ways to define balance. For us, balance is in yards, not and certainly not attempts. And so, you know, we're going to take the game as it comes to us. And that's what we tried to do on Friday.
You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football here from the WBDG studios. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk the matchup with North Central on Friday, which is looking to be a very good matchup there on the north side as the Giants travel up north to North Central. So we'll add all and more when we return here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Seriously 24/7 is a supporter of this WBDG sports broadcast on Giant 90.9. Seriously 24/7 offers residential plumbing, drain cleaning, sewer repair and replacement, remodels, water softeners, and well repairs. Located in Brownsburg at 124 East Northfield Drive, suite number 256, Seriously 24/7 can be reached at 317-501-4964. Hours of operation are Seriously 24/7. WBDG thanks Seriously 24/7 for their support of this sports broadcast.
WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Culver's has a selection of Butterburgers, fries, fish, and chicken. Culver's also offers a variety of soups, salads, kids' meals, desserts, and frozen custard. Culver's is located just off Rockville Road and can be reached at 463-202-2085 and on the web at culvers.com. WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
WBDG FM HD1, Indianapolis.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football here live from the WBDG studios down in Indianapolis here at Ben Davis High School. Here in the second half of our show, we like to discuss the upcoming matchup for the Giants, and that would be North Central this week. Coach, North Central at 6-2 on the year. They beat Pike last week, but Pike took them to extra time in overtime there. So, again, North Central, a team that, you know, had maybe a slip-up last Friday in taking Pike to overtime. So, you know, what are you looking for on North Central? What is maybe their weakness that you guys are going to try to point out and use to your advantage on Friday?
Yeah, I don't know that they have too many weaknesses. When you look at how solid they've been, you know, all season long from start to finish, you know, they've played good football. They're led by their quarterback, Liam Thompson. When you turn the film on and you watch him, he's an impressive quarterback. There's a couple things that really stand out to me. His ability to handle and manage the offense, you can tell it's year two for him in that offense because he's certainly more comfortable. You know, he's more comfortable in the passing game. He looks more fluid with his reads. He can certainly throw the ball and put it where he wants to put it. And he's done that against everybody on their schedule that we've seen on film. And the other part of it is they have speed on the perimeter that can cause you fits. They have a good size offensive line who does a nice job in the run game for him. And so, you know, for us, we have to make sure we pay attention to the quarterback. He can do a nice job escaping the pocket and extending plays. He can certainly put the ball where he wants to put it. And so, you know, he is the guy for them offensively that is the focal point, and then you got to work from there. Got to make sure that we stay alive in coverage this week because, you know, he can make plays if the pocket breaks down, not only with his legs, but he can throw it on the run. He's a smart player. Doesn't put him in a lot of bad situations. And so, you know, he's going to be a handful to defend on Friday. Then when you look at him defensively, they're built really like a good baseball team. You know, if you hang around a bunch of baseball people long enough, they're going to tell you got to build your team up the middle. They're good at the nose spot in the interior defensive line. Their two inside linebackers are aggressive players that have a good understanding of that defense, and their two safeties are impressive. When you look at their two safeties, they're rangy. They cover a lot of ground, whether it's downhill in the run game or whether it's in the passing game. They're both physical, good open field tacklers. And they do a nice job of trying to mix up some edge pressure looks as well. So, you know, it's certainly been a challenging prep for us. But, you know, when you look at this conference week in and week out, you're going to get those preps. And so for us, it's you know, it's the next team up. And we have to continue to pinpoint where they're at and where their people are.
This is the best season we've seen from North Central in quite some time. And some coaches, I think, shied away from taking the North Central job because they weren't sure they could work within that system, that school system. What has Kevin O'Shea done to capture and get things on the right direction at North Central?
Well, I think when you look at Coach O'Shea, he's first off, he's a great football coach. He's had success everywhere he's been, whether it's been McCutcheon, whether it's been Lafayette Central Catholic, whether it's been North Central. And so that's been embedded in who he is. He's grown up in a coaching family. When you look at North Central football right now, it's beyond just Coach O'Shea. You know, I think it's been a commitment from the administration and the athletic department. You know, they have more coaches in the building right now than they've had in a long time. They've made a commitment to football, and, you know, it's paying off for them. You know, they certainly have good football coaches on staff right now that are in the building around their kids every day. You know, they've made a commitment to the weight room and putting Coach O'Shea in there, which has been different than in years past with some of their other coaches. And so, you know, when you make that commitment, you know, there's an opportunity for good things to happen. I think that's what you're seeing at North Central.
I had a chance to listen to and watch some of last week's game with Pike, and I think the best way to describe that game between North Central and Pike was strange. I mean, it was just a very strange football game. How did Pike end up there? It just seemed like Pike maybe put everything they had on that particular game. They gambled. They did some onside kicks. Greg Rakestraw, who was calling the game for the Indiana ISC, there we go, network, said it was the game that had the most changes in momentum and most consequential plays over the course of a game that he has seen. There were some onside kicks that they didn't know if they were actual or on purpose or accidental at a couple of times. And then you come down to a field goal that was just missed by Pike. Had to be gutting for them to lose in that way. But, you know, North Central now has had two of those emotional kinds of wins. How much does that take in or take out of a team overall? Do you have just a set amount of emotion that you can have, and then at some point it busts, or is it something you just keep building on?
Well, I think it's certainly something you can keep building on, especially for a program like North Central's that's kind of making the turn here. The more you win, the more you're going to believe, and the more you're going to expect to win every time you take the field. And when you watch them, they certainly play with a great deal of confidence. They certainly play hard. And, you know, they're fortunate enough to make some of those breaks. You know, when you look at that game, and you're right, John, it was one of the oddest games from a special teams standpoint. Like, you can make a special teams cut up of, you know, if you're gonna practice special team situations in practice, you need to watch that game, because it, you know, Pike's kicking off after a safety, and it plays out like an onside kick. Certainly doesn't look like it at the start. North Central mishandles it. Pike, you know, cleans it up at the 32, and it's like, well, okay, Pike, you know, Pike started the game with an onside kick, stole a possession. You know, Pike's had trouble kicking PATs and field goals. That showed up again. It was an odd game from a special team standpoint. You know, talking through that game with Coach Douglas, it was like, well, yeah, I'm not sure that, you know, some of these situations are going to pop up. You know, it's certainly a good conversation piece to be able to handle with your kids. You know, when you are that kickoff return team after safety, that ball is still live after 10 yards. I don't know how many teenagers know that. I don't know how many teenagers have watched enough football to process that, you know, a live scrimmage kick versus, you know, just a, and, you know, versus a, you know, versus a punt. So, you know, all of those subtle nuances that we talk to our players about, you know, I'm sure not everybody does. But it was an odd game from a special team standpoint. And I think that allowed both teams just to kind of to muddle through it.
I mean, Pike, I think they missed, what, 5 extra points in the game, 6 extra points. I mean, you got to be kicking yourself if you're Pike in that. What point do you go for 2? I mean, just a really interesting game.
To follow up on what you were talking about, John, what benefits come out of being in these dramatic situations for a team in the regular season? How can that benefit you going into the postseason, which we're coming dangerously close to?
Well, yeah, I think when you look at all of those situations, you can certainly look at all these games as learning experiences, and, you know, the next time they're in that situation, they're at least going to have a reference point to come back to, and that's why practicing special team situation stuff is so important. You know, we build it into our script throughout the week, throughout our practice plan, and then on Thursday we have a huge, you know, a huge part of our Thursday practice is special teams game flow and special team situations. You know, our punt team taking a safety if we ever get into that situation, kickoff return after a safety, you know, a kickoff after a safety, all of those special situations that may only come up once a season or once every couple of years, we want to make sure that we at least put our kids through once a week and process with them so they understand it if they at least have a reference point to come back to if we get in that situation in a game.
Coach, you know, everybody saw the pairing show on Sunday and saw the draw, and you will get to face Warren Central again. And how do you keep your kids locked in to this week, knowing that this is a really good North Central team? How do you keep them locked in? Obviously, you know, they saw that they get to play Warren again, and I'm sure they're very excited about that. You know, if you get beat by a team, you want to go beat them the next time you get the chance to. How do you keep them focused and locked into this week, and focus on the game at hand, because you do have a week off coming up to prepare for Warren? You have an extra week.
Yeah, so much of that is trust. You have to trust teenagers that they're not going to look ahead. But, you know, I know it. Our staff knows it. Our kids know it. You know, we can't run from it or hide from it, you know. And so from a coaching staff perspective, and what our staff has chosen to do this week is we talked about Warren Central Monday after school, talked about the sectional draw Monday after school, and then put it to bed so we can just go to work on North Central, just bottom line. And, you know, for us, it's, you know, we have plenty of motivation this week. We want to go in the regular season on a high note. We want to certainly go work to put our best football game out there, which we feel like we haven't done yet as a football team this season. So we got plenty to shoot for this week, and then we can worry about the Warriors when we wake up Saturday morning.
Coach, given that you are down to the final game, at the point of the draw, do you start at that point planning for that tournament, or do you keep your focus on the regular season, given that you know you really can't change your league standings that much at this point?
You know, for us, when the draw came out, no matter who we drew, It wasn't going to matter for us, and I say it wasn't going to matter from the standpoint of we were going to have familiarity with that opponent. You know, if you take me back personally a year ago, you know, there were two teams, or there was one team in that sectional, and when I was at Noblesville and Lafayette Jeff, that we didn't have a reference point on. And so, you know, football coaches are all the same. You know, those guys, if you draw an opponent that you didn't see in the regular season, you're texting your buddies, you're emailing people, and people will give up film on anybody. You know, for us, it was a situation whether we drew, you know, Lawrence Central, Lawrence North, or Warren Central, we were going to have film on them. You know, we were going to have multiple games on them, and it was just a matter of getting back into the, you know, going back to your previous work and your previous breakdowns and just building that game plan from those.
Which would you rather face in the tournament, a team you've seen before or a team that you haven't seen?
A team I've seen before, because at least you know what you're getting into a little bit. You know, it's a harder prep when, you know, it takes a little bit more digging. You know, if you draw a team that you haven't seen, from the standpoint of, you know, you got to try and find common opponents. You know, for example, you go back to Ben Davis football in 2017 when they got to the regional versus Fishers. You know, you can start to compare scores a little bit from when Fishers played North Central and Pike, but there were really no other reference points from there. You know, you can go back to the sectional games, you know, where there were some consistency where Fisher saw some Mick opponents. And then, you know, from there, you just got to rely on what your eyes tell you on the film. And, you know, if you have people in different parts of the state that you can have conversation about to get a feel for team speed or, you know, all of those little things that may not show up on a film, you know, that's where that unfamiliarity comes into play.
Yeah, there wasn't even a reference point for us going to Fishers last year because we had never done a football game from Fishers High School. So.
Well, there's a funny story about that, because I talked to Coach Abney and Coach Ferris last year when they were all worried about traffic, and they said, you know, we think we're going to go up 31 and just cut across 146th Street. And I said, what time's kickoff? 7. What time are you guys leaving? 4:30. You'll never make it. So, yeah, you know, it's all those little things. You know, they had to call the guy in Hamilton County that they knew to get him there. But, you know, all of those, you know, and then you get into those details, the travel details and all those things. So, you know, it's all a little different.
Coach, as you look at fall break coming up, I know that was something that Coach Kirshner always talked about as being a challenge here at Ben Davis, trying to make sure everybody got to practice, make sure everybody had a ride, making sure that everyone was here for fall break. And I know we won't have, I don't want to steal Grant's thunder, but this show won't air next week on Tuesday night. So if you're a fan of this program, we have a break. We will not be on next week. But as you plan for fall break, you know, kind of, I guess, looking ahead a little bit, how does that change your calculus at all?
Well, for us, we're going to come in the morning next week. We're going to get our guys out of bed and get them moving early in the morning next week, and then the following week we're going to come in the afternoon and try and get them back on what would be a quote unquote normal schedule, you know. And so, you got to talk to your players. You got to make sure they understand how to take care of their bodies. You got to make sure they get them out of bed and that they eat before they come see us. We're certainly going to work to take care of them from a coaching staff perspective and to make sure they have what they need, whether it's a ride to practice because parents are working, or whether it's, you know, whether it's lunch, or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we're going to work to get that done as a coaching staff. And then you know who you can count on from a coaching perspective. You know who you can count on. The guys that love Ben Davis football and the guys that it matters to are going to be here, and we're going to get to work. And, you know, the other guys we're going to have to run down and find out. So, you know, we're going to be no different than anybody else that's on fall break. You know, we just got to show up and work and make sure that we're ready to go.
Coach, looking at North Central, some key players that you think that you're going to have to stop on Friday in order to be successful.
Well, you know, I think it starts with their quarterback, first and foremost. I think he does a great job of reading the run game. He does a great job of distributing the football to their skill players, and so he's our focal point for us right now. And then, you know, the other matchups for us, we got to make sure that we win on the perimeter. We got to make sure we're smart in the kicking game, and keep the ball out of, you know, keep the ball out of guys' hands that can create issues. You know, when you look at North Central special teams, they ran a couple of kicks back, ran one back for a touchdown against Carmel. Ran another one back that was close to going back for a touchdown, ran one back against Pike. And so, you know, we've certainly seen enough kickoff return yards to be smart with the football on Friday. And so, you know, we have to start there in terms of, we have to start with the quarterback and then work our way out from there.
All right, this has been another episode of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks for tuning in tonight again. We are not having a show next week due to the 6A bye week of the state tournament. So we'll come back in 2 weeks. I believe it's the 22nd, our next show, and that show will be at 2 p.m., 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So mark that on your calendars there, and we'll see you in 2 weeks for the next edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, talking the Warren Central opening round of sectional matchup, that all and more in 2 weeks. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.